Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you because your word is true. Thank you, Father, for the miracles you just did amongst us. Thank you for the myopia being healed. Thank you for the hormonal imbalance that has been solved. Thank you for all the mighty things you've done this morning. Now we go into your word. We pray that your word will bring illumination to us, that we'll walk in the light of this truth and will bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name. And the church says a big amen, amen forevermore. Hallelujah. So we are continuing our teaching series. By the way, we're going to conclude today on the teaching series that we began captioned energio. Energio. You see, energio is the Greek word for work it that we see in the book of Galatians 3 and verse 5. Can you give me Galatians 3 and verse 5? Galatians 3 and verse 5. The Bible tells us, it says, "He therefore that worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So that means God works miracles among us. How many of you can testify about that? I mean, you just saw it now, right? You see, miracles just happen. You see, that's how God does miracles among us. So Paul is saying, "He that worketh miracles among us, doeth he it by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law?" In other words, the hearing of faith occurs through the hearing of faith. The working of miracles occurs through the hearing of faith. Now, the word "worketh" there is from the Greek word energio. So we're looking at energio, how God gets things done through us. How God gets things done through us. The first thing you have to realize is, which is a major mistake that many people in Christianity fall into. Many times they drag the sovereignty of God out of proportion. You see, the sovereignty of God does not work without the cooperation of the will of man. In the book of Psalm 115, verse 16, the Bible tells us that the heavens, even the heavens, is the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. God can't do anything for you without your cooperation. As a matter of fact, God depends on you. In fact, you give him room to the degree in which he will walk in your life. There is a position in that you must be in. In fact, everyone that had encounter in scriptures, every one of them that had supernatural encounter with God, God met them halfway. For example, the accountant to Queen Candace of Utopia. He was found reading the book of Isaiah. That was when the Holy Ghost spoke to Philip. He says, "Join thyself to this chariot." And then when Philip got into the chariot, Philip says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Can you see that? So there was already a yearning in his heart to know more. So God met him there and got born again. Can you see that? And through him, the gospel got to Africa. Can you see that? Think about Jacob. He was tired of the whole situation. He wrestled with the angel. He says, "Look, you must bless me. I will not let you go." So it's always a collaboration. Hallelujah. So God can't walk without your cooperation with him. And he has a lot to do. But you have to give him chance if you would let him. This is so important. You have to know this. That the sovereignty of God does not work without the willingness of man. This is so important. And you're going to see that replete in scriptures. For God to save man, he has to become man. Think about that. What gives legitimacy to the spirit to live on earth is this human body. Even evil spirits don't have the power to carry out anything on earth. That's why they walk through the emotions of men. You see, somebody say, "Well, he's one village man in our village. He's the one that's using occultic power. Ah, he would die in Jesus' name." You're wasting your time. You're fighting the wrong person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That human being is only yielding himself to the will of the devil. Demons, didn't you see how that Jesus wanted to cast away that demon? And the demon begged Jesus, says, "Please don't cast me away. Let me go into the pigs." Because even pigs, because they have flesh, they have more legal right to be on earth than demons. No spirit, even you, human being, if you use your body anyhow, God forbid. That's the definition of physical death, when the spirit leaves the body, when the body can no longer bear the spirit. It is the spirit that gives life. The life is in the spirit. So you have to realize that there is nothing God can do without your cooperation. And everyone that had encounter in scripture, God made them have way. Look at the woman at the well. When Jesus met her at the well, Jesus said, look, if you know the gift of God and who it is that is speaking with you, you will ask him for water and you will not thirst no more. Then the woman says, are you older than Jacob, our dad, that dug this well? Then Jesus says, look, if you know who is talking to you, you will ask for water. Then the woman says, okay, draw for me. Then Jesus says, go and call your husband. He says, come on now. I don't have no husband. Then Jesus began to operate in the word of knowledge. He says, well, it's true. You've had five husbands. And you are just tired of marriage. You have become a feminist. So right now, what you are doing now is, you are actually moved in into a guy. You are doing friend with benefits. You don't want to be committed to marriage. This one you are with now is not even your husband. Then the woman said, hey, who is this person that knows about me? Are you a prophet? Then the moment Jesus says, consent to what she says, then she began to ask questions. And hey, I want to ask you, our fathers told us that we should worship here. Some also say we should worship in Jerusalem. Then Jesus began to answer her question. So she had a religious question in her heart that God answered, Jesus answered. And you know, that woman was the first person to preach in the Bible. And she preached to the whole Samaria. The whole city heard about Jesus through that woman. So Jesus met her halfway. Everyone Jesus met, he met them. There must be a conscious desire in your heart. So the sovereignty of God does not work outside the will of man. It makes no difference how much God desires for your life. If you don't cooperate with him, it won't be done. Listen, I often say this. I heard Dr. Miles Monroe of Blessed Memory said it. That the richest place in the world is not the gold mines. It's not CBN. It's not the banks in the world. The richest place in the world today is the graveyard. Unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled purpose. There were houses that should be built that has gone to grave. There were destinies that should be discovered that were not discovered. Is it the fault of God? No. Man has to cooperate with the will of God. Think about this. God wanted to save man because the Bible says the penalty for sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That means the cash out for sin. What sin gives his customer is death. So when man died, only God could save man. So how was God going to save man? If God says, man, be saved, that would be wuru-wuru. That would be injustice. But you see, God is a just God. He set the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:21, Ezekiel 18:24. So how is God going to save man? Man cannot save himself. He's in a corrupt state. He does not even have the initiative, the intelligence to bring God to a round table for his own salvation. He does not even have the power to rid himself from the tyranny of the devil, whom he has sold out authority to in the first place. So how is man going to get out of this quagmire? Now God wants to do it. So how is he going to do it? Well, God is a spirit. And the soul that sinneth must die. So if God must save man, he must die. But he can't die as a spirit because he's a spirit. God is a spirit. Spirit lives in the heaven. He can't die. So what is he going to do? He had to become man. That is the reason for Christmas. I know Mary is pregnant now. This is November. Can you see that? What you call Christmas is not the birth of Jesus. It is incarnation. Because see, in biology, you don't call something a birth except there's fertilization. But Uncle Joe didn't sleep with Sister Mary. It was an immaculate conception. That's why in Luke 1:37, when Mary asked, he said, how shall this thing be, seeing that I have known no man? Then the angel says, don't worry, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And that thing that will come out of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the concept Son of God came from the idea that the conception would be immaculate. It doesn't mean that God had a wife in heaven. You know, some religion, they say, how can this? These people are joking. How can they say God had a son? They kidding me? And they are right, logically. I mean, doesn't mean God has a wife somewhere in heaven, or some even assume some of the drama you did in your secondary school, as though God was in heaven, then he has one little baby with a pampas running around. Then he say, come, go to the earth and die for them. Say, I will go. No. That's not the case. God engrafted himself into man, into the Virgin Mary. The prophecies has been spoken in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. When he was giving judgment, he says, the seed of the woman will bruise your head, you Satan. You know a woman does not have a seed. So the seed of a woman was a prophetic statement of the immaculate pregnancy. Because a woman does not have seed. What a woman has is egg, the somatic cell that forms the soma, the body. Can you see that? And then prophecies continue that way continually. Isaiah 2 prophesied, Hosea prophesied, Moses in the book of Exodus 18:18, he says, there shall arrive a prophet like unto me among you. Talking about Jesus. You see prophecies. But Jesus in Hebrews 10:4, he says, in the volume of book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So he came into the will of God. Psalms 40 verse 7, the psalmist spoke it prophetically as well. Can you see that? So, you see, that's why God became man. Why? God became man to lay credence to his death. Because you can't kill spirit. And since God wants to pay for the sin of man, and God is a just God, he will not want to circumvent process. So, he became man. So that his becoming man will give him the legitimacy to die. That's why in the book of John 10 verse 17, Jesus said, one thing have I received of my Father. He has given me the power to lay down my life and to take it back. Nobody killed Jesus. He laid down his life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Somebody that will call down 12 legion of angels, who can kill him? He's the Prince of Life. He's life himself. You can't kill life. You see that? He became man to lay credence to his death for you and I. It's like if you own a company and your child, your son, is one of the employees. And you gave a rule that anybody that comes to the work late or later than 9 a.m. should be fined $1,000. And all the employees, everybody was serious. They come to work 8:30. Then one day, your son came late, came 1 p.m., it will be unjust for you to come down from the downstairs through the elevator and come down and say, hey, he's my son, let him go. That's partiality. You have the power, but you won't do that as a just dad. So what God do? God said, okay, dad comes down. How much? $1,000. Then he takes $10,000 and pay. Because he overpaid actually. Can you see that? So he pays. And then he says, now go back to work. So that's what God did. So he became man so that he can be killable. Let me use a simple English. Killable. His becoming man laid credence to his death. And his death was necessary for the remission of our sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So anybody who is going to pay my sin for me must die for me. And since God is a spirit who does not die, that was the necessity behind why he had to become man. Can you see that? He couldn't help us without becoming us. So Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, he tasted death for all, that he might bring many sons unto glory, that himself might be the captain of our salvation. Can you see that? So you have to understand, man has to cooperate with God. So we say this is how God gets things done through us. And we have looked at how he does it. We say through divine deposit of desire. Then the second week, we spoke about divine orchestration into divine relationships. Some of you walked into some friendship that brought you into this church and your life has changed. It's the plan of God. That's how God gets things done through us. It brings us into supernatural relationships. Nobody can do anything in isolation and succeed, because what God is doing through you and what he's doing through another person, he needs you all to do it together to make a bigger picture. I gave you an example. Imagine manufacturers who made this piano. They made the keys differently. When they were making all those keys, all those stuffs, all the things that make it up, They had in mind that it would be used to make a piano. Come on, right? So potentially, all the systems, all the keys, everything you see, the IC inside, they had the potentiality of becoming a success. And their success is not in isolation. Come on now. Until when the manufacturer now assembled every of those keys, all of those body parts, it became a piano. That was when every of those keys that was made differently became purposeful. So what God is doing through you is not going to be a success in isolation. So it brings us together. It brings us into some supernatural relationship so that we can function together and fulfill the goal of the master. God has a plan. That's why if you're playing church truancy, you're missing too much. Too much. That's the purpose of the church. Church is a strategy that God uses to bring men into the fulfillment of his own plan. You see, let me tell you something you need to know, and you must hear it right. God is God-centered. He has a plan. The plan is simple. He wants all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. In fact, Apostle Peter says, God is not slack in what many people call slackness. Can you see that? But his loving kindness, his patience. In fact, Romans 2 verse 4 says, the patience of God, the long suffering of God draws men to repentance. Can you see that? So the Bible tells us, it says in the book of 1 Peter 2 verse 3 to 4, it tells us, it says, this is the will of the Father, that he will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is his plan. He wants everybody to be adopted into sonship. So he's using the church to do it. So when you get born again, he brings into a church where you'll be equipped. Ephesians 4 verse 12, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. So we are training you for the work of ministry. You are the ministers. Unfortunately, in our age, we have done it upside down. We think the pastors are the ministers. No, you are to be trained to do the work of ministry outside the four walls of the church. You are to bring men into the kingdom. You have to evangelize the world. You have to evangelize your own world. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The word nation there is from the Greek word and is from the word ethnos. Where they get the word ethnicity. It means a people bound together by a common descriptive parameter. So you can have a nation of Igbos, a nation of students in your class. That's a nation. A nation of Chinese. A nation of engineers, a nation of teachers, a nation of lecturers. Can you see that? A nation of ladies. So you are into one nation or the other. So he says, go into the world and make disciples of your own nation. Your own sphere of influence. Be the light there. So that you bring more men, because God has a plan. He is not happy that people are going to hell. Listen, anybody who goes to hell, it is not God who sent them to hell. It is because they have refused the gospel. The hell was made for devil alone. God is not a wicked God. But people go to hell because they follow the devil. So your own success is not a success in isolation. That's why it brings us into supernatural relationship. Then last week I spoke about divine desire. That one of the ways God gets things done through us is by putting the desire to pray. You just feel this urge, this pang to pray. Some of you, you abort those pang many times. Oh, you miss so much. There are so much you should do better when you pray. You just begin to notice that some supernatural coincidences begin to occur in your life. Things begin to arrange themselves. So he put the desire in you to pray. Today, I want to look at another one, but because, you know, we had a miracle service before I began to teach, the Holy Ghost took over, so time is fast spent. I'm going to continue in second service, but I'm just going to give you a very tip of it quickly so that you can have an idea of what I would be sharing in second service, or what I intend to share today, how God gets things done through. So we have looked at three, right? Today is the fourth one. I wish I can turn it to a continual meeting. Others, second service will meet us, but that would be unfair to them. One of the ways God gets things done through us is through divine empowerment, or what I call the anointing. Whatever he asks us to do, he anoints us to do it. That's why doing it is no longer a daunting task. It becomes as easy as a walk in the park because he anointed us to do it. You see the way you see how many people came out today who got healed miraculously this morning? It's because I'm anointed to heal. Can you say that? And to work miracles. Because the Bible says God has set some in the church. He set them in the church. Talking about human beings. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Then, teachers. Workers of miracles. Healings. He set them in church. I am anointed to do it. Endowed to do it. Empowered to do it. So God gives us, one of the ways God gets things done through us is by giving us the supernatural enablement. The divine enablement. The divine empowerment. Or I call it the anointing. Oh, I want you all to make sure that you attend School of Ministry. School of Ministry is kicking off next week. 4 weeks every Saturday. Make sure you enroll. I'm going to talk more on this, the anointing. Every Christian is anointed. Is anointed, beg your pardon. There is a grace God has bestowed upon you. See that? So the anointing of the Holy Spirit talks about the Spirit of God and all of his dimension coming upon a man to accomplish a supernatural task. It's the dimension of the Holy Ghost that makes man to carry out supernatural task. So the anointing is God's inbuilt ability, supernatural ability to carry out supernatural task. It just gets so easy for you to do it because he has anointed you to do it. So that's how God gets things done through us. He empowers you to do what he wants you to do. Look at Exodus 36. Exodus 36. Helps you to carry out the feats. Exodus 36, 1 to 2. Come on, media. Are you with me? Can you see time is fast spent? The Bible says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise hearted in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. So God empowered them with the wisdom. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise hearted man in whose heart the Lord has put wisdom, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come up with the work to do. So the Spirit of God stirs them up, empowers them. Interestingly, this was not anointing to heal. This was anointing to do excellent architectural work. Because they were into building of the temple. And God anointed them to craft the architectural work beautifully. You can have an anointing for administration. Yeah, you heard me say so. As long as the backdrop of that functioning is for the kingdom, you can be anointed to excel in the marketplace. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. You can be sent as an apostle of God to the marketplace. That means you evangelize those in the marketplace. You become God's mouthpiece in the marketplace. In your own nation. Your own, I told you what a nation is, ethnos. A people bound together by a common descriptive parameters. We won't all be at the pulpit. Some of you will be working in CBN and say aloud, amen. Amen. Some of you are going to own industries. Amen. Some of you are going to change the atmosphere of this country. Amen. I want to prophesy, there are three persons here who are going to be working in the IM of affairs in the government in this nation. Amen. Some of you will be legislating. Amen. Are you hearing me? Some of you will be House of Rep. Amen. But you know, tomorrow, if you hear that Pastor Elijah is contesting for presidency or contesting for governorship or I'm contesting for House of Rep, just start interceding for me because I've missed my way. God will not tell me to leave the ship and go and pursue government. No. I found my place. Many years ago, my grandma would pray for me. You will become president. I'll say, I can't say amen. It can't happen. I found the purpose. Glory to God. And I'm functioning there. But some of you will be in places where you'll be able to speak for the people. You can be anointed for it. Where you become untouchable. When they know that, no, this one is going to stand for justice. Going to stand for the truth. Because we are practicing democracy. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. In other words, it's a government of popular opinion. If you have too much foolish people deciding for a nation, once they say, if you say X, say hi. They say hi. The eyes have it. Boom. That was how the eyes almost had it when they say 9 years old can start getting married. Have you forgotten? You've forgotten a lawmaker in this country once said, you know, a 9 years old child can start marrying. You don't blame him. Himself too has a child of that age too that was given out for marriage. In America now, you can see they are moving for LGBTQ. Why? Because there are senators, acclaimed senators in the house who is standing for them, who themselves are professed LGBTs. So it's democracy, and that is the best kind of government human beings have come from, human beings have been able to form. So we have to stay with it. So you can't just stay behind and say, the way they are doing us, God, God, God. You got to get involved. Know your place and function there. I have a friend in the military. He's doing mad stuff in the military. He was one of those trainers. They've been moving him here and there. He trains recruits into the Navy. He took our devotion, our handbook, foundation school. Everyone that came through him, he's my childhood friend. He trains them with our foundation school. He gave me testimonies. The last one he did, it was massive. Teaching them, doing foundation school for them, training them. Oh, that's purpose. As a trainer, recruiting people, all these recruits into the Navy. He's an instructor, a lieutenant in the Navy. But he knows that he's there to instruct them not just on how to mark, how to left turn. He's more than that. He knew he has a supernatural purpose behind it. There's a backdrop of kingdom behind it. You are a coder into computer. You're computing. There is something beyond what you do. The backdrop is to fulfill the will of God. So God anoints you to do it. So know your place. You've been anointed. Somebody say, I'm anointed. Anointed. Say it again. Anointed. Say it again. Anointed. Say it again. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just go through it then we'll close. Time is far spent already. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 because second service starts immediately. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are members of Christ particular. Then in verse 28 it goes on. It says, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. You just saw miracles today now, right? I am one of those gifts. Hallelujah. Amen. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Then helps. Somebody say helps. Yes. Some people don't know that there's an anointing for help. Some people are called to help. Help ministry. And the most pronounced help ministry in the church is the music ministry. Music ministry. Look at Sinach. That's an help, a big time help ministry. See, help ministry simply means whatever you do to help the furtherance of the gospel. You remember, for example, now let me give you an example. There was a time in scripture where the prophet was angry. Elisha was angry at a particular king for his wicked, ungodly movement in life. Then the other king, they all came to seek for the prophetic office of Elisha. And Elisha will now answer them because of the other king of Judah, because he did not like the way Ahab has gone after Jehori. So he was angry. And that was the time that there was a demand on his prophetic office. You know what Elisha said? Elisha said, if not because of this other king, I wouldn't have responded to you, this wicked king. But anyways, because of this other king, I will respond. Now bring me a minstrel. Because he could not function in the prophetic at that time because his soul was disarrayed. He was angry. So what did he do? He said, bring me a minstrel. The Bible says, as the minstrel began to sing, the hand of God came upon Elisha and he began to prophesy. That is the ministry of help. Help the minister function. To condition the soul of the minister to receive of God to minister to the people. Help. You see, let's go on. You're going to see them. He says, helps, government. Now, government here is not talking about federal government. Government here means all that is, see, the head of government in the church, excuse me, is the pastoral. Government has to do with how things are being organized. For example, head of department, in charge of media. That's government. Finance. Very soon, we already have a church lawyer. We already have a lawyer for the ministry, but as time goes on, we're going to have in-house lawyers. Come on. So we're going to have legal department of the ministry. Can you see that? We're going to have legal departments. We're going to have accountants. This is government. And you can be anointed to do it excellently. You're going to solve riddles. What should give other people headache, you solve it so easily. You can be specially anointed for it. As long as it is helping the furtherance of the gospel, God will anoint you to do it. Then he spoke about diversities of tongues. Now, this is not speaking in tongues that you do when you are praying to God. He's talking about tongues as a ministry. That's why it's not everyone that is endowed with this. It means to speak in tongues and interpret as a message. But the one that you are praying in tongues to God, you don't need anybody to interpret it to God, because it is you praying in tongues and God hearing by his spirit. But the one you are speaking to as a message to the people, then it must be interpreted. So these are gifts in the body. And everyone has been endowed. Somebody say, I've been endowed. Say, I'm so endowed. Say, I'm Mr. Endowed. Endowed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh boy, I gotta stop. I have so much to say. Let me give an example of help. Look at Phoebe. Romans 16 verse 1. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Crenshe. Verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. Oh boy, Paul wrote to the church. He says, you people should assist this woman. She helped me in fulfilling the ministry. You know, Pastor Benny, he was sharing how the particular partner of his used to give him $1 million for every crusade. A woman. That's a ministry of help. You just know this is your place. You have to help in whatever capacity it is. Pastor Evangelist Reverend Bonnke, rest in peace. Their ministry was showcasing about a particular man. That man, everywhere they have crusade, he goes there like a week ahead to set up the media. All the cameras, everything. That is what he does. Look. He's as much an apostle of God. He's as much important as the evangelist himself. Because he's doing a great work to publicize the message of Jesus. That's his job. He's called to do it. He knew that was where he belonged. You can be in media. You can be the one behind. Listen, the challenge is you're always wanting to be seen. That's your problem. If you're not after to be seen, like if you're not after to project your own self, you'll do well where God has put you. And you'll do excellently well. For example, you may desire to sing, but you may not be called into singing. The difference between you desiring something and you being called into something. You may desire to pastor and God may not call you into pastoring. Can you see that? So God calls us. He desires, he put in us the anointing to do what he wants us to do. Look at Acts 16 verse 14. The lady called Lydia. I don't know. You see, I'm sorry to say this, and I'm not trying to be gender biased. It seems to me that the best gender in the kingdom are the female. Don't be surprised. When we get to heaven, there will be more women than men. No, I'm sorry to say this. I'm really sorry. Because think about it. The first human being to preach after Jesus is a woman. The first gender to see Jesus at resurrection. The first person to witness the resurrection, they were women. They went to the tomb first. Now I can see men's head are dropping already. I told you, I apologize ahead already. In Luke 8, verse 1 to 2, there were Bible to talk about some women that ministered, they partnered with the ministry of Jesus to make it a success. They partnered with Jesus financially. And some of them were wives of presidents and governors. Like Chusa. You don't know. Give it to me. Luke 8. Luke 8, 1. I didn't plan to say this, but I have a feeling God is raising me some more time millionaire ladies here. And men too. Say amen. Amen. All right. So that I won't be biased. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the gospel, the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Verse 2. And certain women, it was specific, which had been healed of evil spirit and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Verse 3. And Joanna, not only her, because you say, it's because they got healed now. It's not only her. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, Herod's accountant, chief accountant of the country, the wife. You know, now we have wives of governors who are not doing much for the kingdom. You see, the Bible says, the Lord sent his word. Great was the mightiness of the women. That's what the Bible says. Your translations remove women because some of those translators are chauvinist. But the original says, great were the company of women that published it. Look at it. Steward Susanna. Can you see their name? And many others which ministered unto him of their substance. They were partnering with Jesus. They were in the ministry of help. I went to the evangelism yesterday. I met some guys at the basketball court. Me and my partner, because we used to pair ourselves evangelism. And we met a particular 3 guys who were sharing the gospel with them. He says, your face is familiar. I've been to your church before. I said, really? Who invited you? Then he mentioned one lady. I said, that girl, I know. This is a lady that when she's coming, she has the grace to pull people to church. She's sitting over there. I don't want to point her because she used to be shy. And I'm like, are you still waiting to find out that you're an evangelist? Yeah, I don't want to. You are an evangelist. How can you bring 7 people to church every Sunday? 6, 3. And they just pull, they just come. You are anointed for it. Some of you see people coming to you. You don't understand. Some guys, God anointed you to reach people with the gospel. And when they come to you, because you are not trained, you have not trained your soul, you start taking advantage of them. You are a mumu. Say, ah, me. Ah, guys, just then they pursue me. Now then they rush me. It's because you have not been taught. You've been anointed to have people pull towards you so that they can. It's because God knew there's something in you to give them. And the best thing you can give any man is not money. It's eternal life. And you have the gospel that can give eternal life. God is trusting you with the eternal destiny of other people. Be a responsible person with it. Be a good steward of it. Like my wife used to say, I steward the grace of God in my life. Because you give account of it. You would. You would. Ephesians 4 verse 7. Give it to me. Didn't you read today's devotional? You will. Ephesians 4 verse 7, look at it. He says, but unto every one of us, someone say everyone. I didn't hear you, said louder. Everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone. Everyone. The word gift is charisma. We are all charismatic. Everybody has a gift. Everybody. Everybody in this room has a gift. Everybody. Everybody in this room has a gift. Everybody. Everybody in this house has a gift. Everybody. Somebody say, well, me, I can't talk. I don't think I can dim. Shut your trap. Everybody. Everybody in this room has a gift. Somebody say, no, I don't think God coming to do anything. I'm just to come on one bench. Shut your trap. Everybody. Say, I don't think the way my head is. Shut your trap. Moses gave 11 reasons why he couldn't be sent. 11. I showed you last week. 11. See, because the callings of God is not based on natural credentials. It's not about the riches. It's not about your background. No. He has called the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Moses was a stammerer, yet he was the one to deliver Israel. He was a deliverer. Gideon was a timid guy. He was hiding within the press, trying to do his press, hiding. But he was supposed to deliver Israel. When the angel called him, mighty man of valor, he says, come, you didn't want me. I came from a poor home of the poorest tribe. Are you kidding me? How am I going to save Israel? He says, go in this thy might. So he had might. He didn't know. You could have something not knowing until you come to a church like this where we tell you what you have. So he said, but I don't think I have. Shut up! Romans 3 verse 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar, including you when you refuse to agree with what God has said concerning you. But thank God I'm a pastor. I'm not going to let you say that rush, up, stupid stuff before me. Ain't nobody in this house without a gift. Everybody in this house has a gift. Everybody. You have a gift. 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 Everybody say loud amen. Amen. Everybody in the house has a gift. Everybody. Look at it. Listen. Look at me. Look at everybody. You are not a speck of dust. I know you were taught in biology that you are just, you know, a statistical number. And it's logical mathematically in statistics that 1 out of 7.8 billion, that's 0.00000. You are not a figure. Matthew 10 verse 30. He says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Think about that. He knows the hairs of your head. That's how particular you are to him. Zechariah 2 verse 10, he says, you are the apple of his eyes. You are inscribed in the palms of his hand. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are not a speck of dust. Are you hearing me? So square up your shoulder. Are you hearing me? Walk like a king. Because you matter in this world. You came for a purpose. You've been anointed. Can you shout amen, somebody? You've been anointed. You are anointed for something. So find out what that thing is. And begin to function in it. Because when you get to heaven, you will be judged based on what you ought to do. God is going to judge you based on what he ought to do. God is going to judge you based on what he ought to do. God is going to judge you based on what you're going to do. You are going to stand before the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to judge you based on what you ought to do. You don't going to give no excuse. Are you hearing me? Say after me, I'm anointed. Say it louder. Now lift your hands and speak in other tongues. Paratosu freket.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.